This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To go for Hajj. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. How many people were here last year? Okay, I should ask the other question. How many people were not here last year?
Whatever that means.
Looks like the same amount of people. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a blessed convention for everyone, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who benefit long term from this convention and are accepted in all of our deeds. Say ameen. A woman once entered into the palace of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And this is narrated through the Isra'iliyat, so it may or may not be authentic, but the lesson behind is absolutely true. So she barges in without knocking and she says, O Messenger of Allah, is your Lord an oppressor or is he just? So he said, be careful of your words. What are you saying is your Lord an oppressor? What is your story? She said, I'm a widow and I'm taking care of my three daughters. And every day she makes some clothes and she goes to the marketplace. She sells what she has. She buys food and she travels back to her home to feed her children. So on that very same day, as she's heading to the marketplace, she stops to rest. And a bird swoops down and takes this red clothing that she had, filled with all of these products she was going to sell. And it flew away. So naturally she would become upset. Your provisions just left in front of you. So as she's telling him the story, they hear a knock and Prophet Dawood alayhi salam allows these businessmen to enter. So these 10 men enter and they say, O Messenger of Allah, last night we were traveling by sea through the storm. And there was a leak in the boat and they thought they were going to die. They started making dua as they were emptying water from the boat. And finally one of them says, O Allah, if you save us tonight, then every one of us will donate 100 dinars in charity. Which, let's say in our times, is like $100,000.
Those are the direct ones we know.
So as they're emptying the boat and making dua, this bird flies around, drops this red clothing, and they take this thick material, this thick substance, they try to plug the boat as much as possible as they're emptying the water, and they all survive. So they gave this 1,000 dinars total in charity and they left. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam turns to the woman and he gives her the 1,000 dinars and he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of your provisions in the land and in the sea. Meaning when you do work and even when you're not doing anything. And you question whether he's an oppressor or he's just. So oftentimes what we perceive to be oppression or difficulty or a struggle is a blessing in disguise. But our test is that first moment of calamity, the first moment of suffering. So we will mention, inshallah, for the sake of time and the sake of structure, 10 different causes of our struggles, because it is a common and reasonable question. Why do we struggle? Why is there hardship? The first reason that we struggle is to purify us of our sins. Would you rather be purified of your sins in this life or in the next life? Without doubt, all of us, knowing what we know about the hereafter of description and fear and hardship, there's no doubt whatsoever we want our sins, we would rather for our sins to be purified in this life, and one of those forms is hardship. One of those forms is hardship. When you go through this hardship, as we know, the word fitna comes from the root of the one who purifies gold. So they purify it through a severe heating process and it comes out as one of the most pure, valuable commodities in the world. Likewise and similarly, as we are purified through hardship and patience and struggles, we are purified of our sins and hopefully we will come out more valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we go through hardships and struggles and we experience pain in order for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we have become distracted. And there's no doubt whatsoever that this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is out of His love that He wants you to go back to Him. Would you rather continuing down this path of being astray, or would you rather Allah sends you a reminder? Sometimes the reminder comes and we are heedless, we ignore. There are signs all around us, we reject, we procrastinate, we disregard. And Allah keeps sending reminders, and eventually that reminder might come in a more severe form. A form to wake us up, to jolt us and remind us to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check your actions. I asked the question last year during one of the talks about smartphone addiction. How many times a day do people check their smartphones? And on average, they found with 10,000 survey respondents that it's approximately 150 times a day. Now some of you here might say, but I check it like 1,000 times a day, which is a little crazy. But 150 times a day. Imagine, 150 times a day, you make a quick dua, quick dhikr. 150 times a day or more or less, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing Him that even through times of ease, you are still connected to Him. Even when He has given you all that He has given you, you have not forgotten all of those blessings. But when we forget to connect to the Qur'an, when we forget to connect to istighfar and dua and so on and so forth, oftentimes for our own sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to send a sharp reminder our way, because the light reminder did not work for us. And so it is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, there was a story of a sister a few years ago, 26-year-old sister who got into an accident and lost her sight. And she went from specialist to specialist, from state to state, even from country to country, and they couldn't find help for her. No one basically was able to help restore her sight. And eventually somebody reminded her very sharply, how can you have gone all these months with your family trying to seek help from people and never once considering asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by going and doing umrah or hajj, or doing something that's a little greater or more than just making dua and going to your local specialist. So she went for umrah. This was in 2009. She went for umrah with her family, and as she was doing tawaf, she fainted, she went unconscious. And when she regained consciousness, she was able to see. And there's no doubt whatsoever, when you remember to turn to Allah first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to you in forms beyond what you asked for. You ask for something, Allah will give that to you and much, much more. But turn to Him first and foremost, and remember that when you go astray, if that reminder comes your way, don't disregard it. The third reason that we struggle is to humble us when we have become arrogant. And we don't realize that arrogance is the primary disease that destroys the heart and destroys faith. It is what took the devil himself astray when he was in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you start to think, I earned this because of my hard work, my 40 hours a week, my studying all night, I earned this by myself. When you start to think you're independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is out of the mercy of Allah that He sends you a reminder to humble you, so that you do not go down the path of the devil himself. Think again about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserving you for your own sake. Number four, we struggle and we experience hardships, sometimes simply to test us. You and I can say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The statement is easy on the tongue, but the actions will be reflected when you are tested at the moment of calamity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people expect to say, I believe in Allah, and then not be tested for their faith? Anyone can say, I believe, I'm Muslim. But when the test comes your way, light or severe, you will be tested with your reaction. And the moment of test, once again, is at the time of calamity or hardship. Number five, we are tested and we go through hardships and we struggle and we go through difficulties because this life is imperfect. It has its purpose, and its purpose is perfect. But as for relaxation and perfection in worldly matters, none of those things are guaranteed. If you have good health now, may Allah preserve you, it's not guaranteed forever, as we all know. If you have wealth, a career, a good family, these things are not guaranteed for the rest of your life. The only guarantee that we have is that we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the opportunity to have something much greater and lasting, something that is not temporal. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who enter the highest levels of paradise. I want everyone to imagine for a moment. Imagine this next scenario. You're standing in Jannah. May Allah make all of us and our families of Ahlul Jannah. Say Ameen. Imagine you're standing there the first time you enter, and you're not lost, you know exactly where your home in Jannah is. And as you're standing there looking at this palace and the reward that you have and the gardens next to your palace for all the dhikr that you made and the trunks of the trees of gold and silver, and you have the ground made out of sapphires and gems and jewels, and you have the rivers of Jannah flowing right up to your palace, and you feel a tug on your shoulders, and you turn around and you see maybe a family member who has passed away before you in this life, maybe your parents who passed away before you in this life, maybe a long lost friend, maybe you'll see some of your ancestors, the first in your lineage to become Muslim, maybe you'll see some of your descendants, your legacy, maybe you'll turn around and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in any of these scenarios, whoever you turn around and see, there's no doubt whatsoever you're going to be happy. There's no doubt whatsoever that it's all worth it. And it's worth it for one moment in Jannah, not just an eternity. It's worth it. Everything you go through in this life of hardship and suffering and pain and patience and resilience and firmness, it's all worth it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and every time you hear his name in this convention, remember to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the person who went through the most suffering in this world, think of all of our suffering in this room combined, multiply by a million. Someone whose entire life was a life of consistent misery and hardship. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels to dip this person one time into Jannah. Person who has all of these hardship and memories of pain and anxiety, they're dipped one dip into Jannah only, and they're removed. And Allah asks, O son of Adam, have you ever experienced any hardship before? And he says, no, ya Allah, I've never experienced any hardship before. If this is one dip, how is a step? How is a second? How is a minute? How is a lifetime, an eternity in Jannah? And it's worth it. When you go through pain and suffering, remember paradise. Remember the purpose of this life. For one of the greatest ways to cope with suffering, as was commanded to the Sahaba themselves, to the companions and the prophets, is to reflect on paradise. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Do you expect to simply just enter paradise when you have been given the tidings of those who came before you? They were afflicted with hardship and with poverty until they were shaken with their messenger as well. And they would say, Mata Nasrullah, when will the help or relief or victory of Allah come? These are the greatest of people. And Allah says, Ala inna Nasrullahi qareeb. Verily, indeed, with an emphasis, the help and the victory and the relief from Allah is nearby. Be resilient and be firm. Number six, we experience hardships and struggles in this life, sometimes as a minor form of punishment. And we don't like to think about this, but this has to be said. You might be oppressing someone in your life. You might be causing harm that is consistent. Maybe your bad manners in general or bad conduct with someone in general. Maybe you're mistreating your parents, not giving them the rights that Allah has prescribed, or your spouse or your children. Remember that the rights of the creation are magnificent and important in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, how often do we reflect on our sins and actually try to repent for them? Actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, forgive me for this specific sin, not general istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever afflicts you of hardship or calamity is because of what your hands have earned. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, but he has forgiven and concealed most of it. Meaning it's a fraction of what we are actually deserving. So when you are going through hardship, If it came at a time in which you were oppressing someone, or after a sin, or after consistency in a sin, try to ascribe that suffering to your sins, just so you can remember to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore informed us, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ دِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks forgiveness consistently, istighfar, constantly as a habit, all the time, day and night, driving, walking, standing, all the time, then Allah will make for you from every hardship a way out. Is that not what we want? And from every difficulty or anxiety, He will grant you relief. And on top of that, He will provide for you blessings and sources from sources you've never expected. Allah will take care of you in every way if you turn to Him constantly seeking forgiveness. This is why in the Quran we see the clear example from Nuh alayhi salam. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Seek forgiveness from your Lord, He is the oft forgiving. Meaning He will accept if you are sincere. What is the result of you asking Allah to forgive you, even if you don't think you have any wrongdoings or shortcomings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you and bless you in this life before the next life. Even when you are praying and you finish salah, the first thing that you say is what? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Were you doing something wrong? You were worshipping Allah. And yet the sunnah is to ask and seek forgiveness from Allah. Why? Simply because of our shortcomings. Out of gratitude to Allah, because we are aware of our shortcomings. When you enter the restroom, the sunnah when you leave is to say, غفرانك. Why are you seeking forgiveness from Allah? Because you are not able to even remember Him while you were there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving you for that time if you are sincere in not being able to call upon Him. There's a sister that sent a message in a few months ago. She said she felt helpless seeing the situation around the world with our brothers and sisters, and she wanted to really do something. So aside from dua and aside from charity, she heard in a lecture that your sins and my sins do affect the rest of the ummah. And a lot of us don't realize this. A lot of people think this is unfair, but we are a collective nation. Our sins do have consequences. So when she heard this, she ended up, for her own sake, she ended up being convinced that this was her way of helping her brothers and sisters by repenting for something that she had done. She actually began wearing hijab at that time, and she said the main cause of this, aside from fulfilling the obvious obligation, was because she also had the intention to help her brothers and sisters around the world. Some people will think it's selfless, some people think it's noble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that our sins are obstacles to blessings, to relief. You might be right next to this blessing that you truly want. Something amazing you cannot begin to imagine. And there's a veil, there's an obstacle, there's a wall because of a sin that you are constantly engaged in. So make sure this is something that is constant as a habit in your life, in that you are seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get tired of forgiving us, so do not get tired of asking for forgiveness. Number 7. We experience hardship and suffering in this world sometimes simply to make us stronger. And a lot of people don't realize if you want to become stronger, you have to go through some kind of pain. And as we all know, the famous slogan that's used whenever people work out at the gym is what? No pain, no gain, right? Are you all with me? No pain, no gain. Now, for anybody here who actually lifts weights, what happens when you're, some people work out 4 or 5 times a day and they get nothing done. But what happens when you work out properly is you start to feel the pain. And once you start feeling that pain, that's when your muscle starts breaking down. Therefore, to build new muscle, to become stronger, to lift more next time, you have to go through some kind of pain. You cannot possibly expect to go from lifting 20 pounds to lifting 100 pounds. Something has to have come in order to break you down and lift you up. So when you go through hardships as a believer, think of that experience and that suffering and that moment in your life as a moment to also become stronger the next time something comes your way. Because spiritually speaking, how do you expect to grow aside from the things that we are doing proactively and the things that we are doing as an initiative? How do you expect to grow if you are not going through some hardship that also pushes you and propels you forward? And so when you go through hardship, remember that this is a source of your growth in life. and a reminder to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A study was done by Oxford University in 2009, and they found that people who believed in God and put their trust in God, overall in life, were the vast majority of them were likely to be happier, less depressed, and constantly moving forward with optimism. And this is something that we have as believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this. Not to fear, not to grieve. Why? Because your trust is not in a human being. Your trust is in the one who created this universe, the one who says, kun fayakun, be and it is. How can you worry when Allah is taking care of you? Does that not show that there is not enough trust in Allah? When you properly put your trust in Allah, Allah will suffice you. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts their trust properly in Allah, Allah will suffice you. How? He will take care of you in every way imaginable. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not stop. Oftentimes, what you think is pain is actually making you grow. And the surah that this verse is mentioned in, which we always refer to, what surah is it? At-Talaq, right? So surah At-Talaq is about divorce. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning tawakkul at a time in which, a situation in which many people are going through difficulties emotionally. It's not usually an easy experience, divorce. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you, even in that situation, to put your trust in Allah. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. And everything else more and less than that. So think realistically of your hardships and imagine that your hardships are being handed over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have nothing to worry about. Question, does tawakkul require your effort? Does tawakkul require effort from us? Yes? How many people say yes? How many people say no? So Imam Malik rahimahullah said tawakkul does not require effort. But Imam Shafi rahimahullah said it absolutely does. So Imam Shafi invited Imam Malik over for dinner. And Imam Shafi went to the marketplace, bought some food and came back. And they cooked dinner, prepared dinner for Imam Malik, their guest. Imam Malik comes over, and as they're eating, Imam Shafi brings up the controversial issue again. He says, tawakkul requires effort from us. The proof is that I had to go to the marketplace, sell some things, buy some food, and come here today in order for us to have this blessing of food today. Imam Malik said, I did nothing and the food came to me. The scholar said, they're both correct. In the vast majority of cases in your life, you have to do something. You cannot possibly sit down and say, I'm not going to study, but tomorrow I'm going to pass. I'm not going to work, but I expect my company to pay me. You have to put in the effort as much as possible. Do your best and don't worry about the results. Do your best and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the fullest extent. Number 8, we struggle and we suffer in this world, or what we perceive to be suffering. And this is perhaps the most important one. What you perceive as a struggle or suffering or hardship is oftentimes because Allah is replacing it with something better or saving you from something harmful. But this requires what? Requires our good assumptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Optimism about Allah, good assumptions of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah said, if you and I knew how Allah managed our affairs behind the scenes, our hearts would melt out of love for Him. Is Allah not the most merciful? More merciful to you and I than we are to ourselves? He plans for you and I better than we plan for ourselves. But we need to assume good of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will share with you a personal story. And I am almost done. Last year I was in Ireland, and as we were going through a camp experience for the university students, we had to take a bus from Dublin, 4 hours north. So on the way back, after this amazing spiritual rush, we get on the bus, we say the morning supplications. Some people are not paying attention. Not here, but on the bus. Maybe here as well. Some people looked up when I said that. So what happens? We're on the bus and we say the Adhkar al-Sabah, the morning supplications, the Dua al-Safar for traveling. And after about an hour, the back of the bus randomly just goes boom, really loudly. Sorry for scaring some of you. Now you're really paying attention. So nobody was hurt. We pulled over. The back of the bus, the tire, one of the tires exploded. The bus driver looks at it and says, in 20 years, I've never seen something like this. He calls a company, a specialist company, to come and fix the tire. So as we're waiting, One of the sisters, and this is just an example just so you understand the severity of the situation. One of the sisters came up and said, this is the first religious camp I've went to in my life. The first religious experience, I started praying, I started wearing hijab. Why did this happen to us? And it's a common, it's understandable to an extent. But we cannot question our decree. We have to be careful. Why did this happen to us right after we just started praying and doing all of these amazing deeds? So after about an hour and a half, we get back on the bus and we say the Adhkaru Sabah again, the morning supplications. Now everyone is paying attention. Everyone has super khushu'. And we say the dua for traveling and we continue. And the last thing that I said before I sat was along the lines of, perhaps this happened to us because it saved us from something worse. Allahu A'lam. We don't know. We always say this and we don't really know. But we have to assume good of Allah. Perhaps what you think is suffering, even if it's for a year long or 5 years long, perhaps it is saving you from something worse. So about 15 minutes later, everyone's back on their phones. We get to a detour on the highway. And the entire highway is closed off, every single lane of the highway. And there's about 30 or 40 vehicles of a pileup, bodies on the ground, ambulances, fire trucks, police cars. And we all had goosebumps. Some people started crying. We pull over, we get some snacks from a rest area, and they tell us this accident happened about an hour and a half to 2 hours ago. The same time that we were heading in that direction. And oftentimes, and it increased all of our faith, but oftentimes we say this, that perhaps it's saving us from something worse, but we don't see it, so we don't really feel an iman rush. But when you do see it, it is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind you that truly when you are saved from something, you have to assume good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you see it or not. So assume that what you're going through could possibly lead to something better. And perhaps you might hate something. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But Allah will make through that thing a lot of good come to you. Be patient and assume good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9. We go through hardships and suffering in life in order to remind us of our purpose and to give us direction when we become lost. We become distracted oftentimes. We lose track of where we are religiously. We lose focus on the hereafter and our objectives. And we start making a priority for this life to the extent that we're sacrificing on energy for the next life. And that is problematic. Because as believers, everything you do in this world, you can do with the intention that it's for the sake of Allah. But if you run into an action that you cannot intend sincerely, then there's a problem with the action. So when you're doing anything, when you're setting your life goals, your plans, your visions, think and factor in the idea of death at any moment during that plan. Factor in the idea of sincerity with every deed that you're doing, whether it's sleeping or working or studying. And try to use your time and energy as much as possible to give the priority to the hereafter. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah famously said, one of the previous scholars, he said, work for this life in proportion to the amount of time that you'll spend in it. And work for the hereafter in proportion to the amount of time that you'll spend in it. There is no comparison. And yet you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he balanced the two. And finally, number 10. We experience hardships and struggles and pain oftentimes due to our ingratitude. Just so we will become more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessings that you have right now, Allah's not charging you for them. But once they leave, you start realizing and appreciating those blessings. You probably heard about the 80-year-old man who had to have surgery on his ears so that he would basically not lose his hearing. And afterwards, he was crying after the surgery. They said, they thought it was financial. They said, we'll give you a payment plan. It's not a big deal. He said, I'm not crying because of the money. I'm crying because I've had my hearing for 80 years and Allah never charged me for it. Never asked for anything for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I with so much. But if you are ungrateful and always pessimistic and always looking at the hard side, are you really exemplifying gratitude properly? Try to be as grateful as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in times like this, when you and I are well aware of all of the hardships plaguing our ummah around the world. People suffering left and right from the east to the west. Are you really grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it only when you feel that it's convenient for you? Let us try to be as grateful to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of ash-shakirin. The overall three things that you can take as action items. Number 1, work consistently on introspection. self-reflection, on purification of the heart and the soul, and dhikr and dua, and so on and so forth. Number two, keep striving, keep pushing to give value to your time and balance in your time, objectives for this life and the next life. You should have more goals for the year after than you do for this life. And finally, number three, no matter what happens, stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how difficult things become or how many people come to you or leave you, with support, without support, keep connected to Allah and you will remain tranquil. You will remain successful. You will remain fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you if you stay connected to Him. If there's one thing that you can do, raise the bar for your dua during this convention and afterwards. Make your dua, take your dua to a whole new level. And ask of Allah like you've never asked before. Ask Allah day and night, constantly, for things that you never thought you should ask Allah for, even if they're minor. When you're thirsty, ask Allah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you water. As simple as that sounds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and bless you even more. And grant you more than what you asked for, because He sees that you depend on Him and you show your humility to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this convention. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us of those who are constantly striving to be grateful. We ask Allah to relieve us of our hardships and our suffering and allow us to benefit and get through these moments of hardship. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. Jazakumullahu khairan wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can you in brief state the 10 objectives that you mentioned in your talk? Some people came in late, so if that's fine, inshallah.
Was anyone taking notes? How many people ended up writing down all 10? Oh, mashallah. All the people in the front row. What does that say? Nerds. I'm just kidding. They're usually the best students. I sit in the front as well. So mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, front and back. The 10 things that I mentioned very quickly. Number one is to purify us of our sins. Number two, to guide us back to Allah when we've become distracted. Number three is to humble us when we've become arrogant. Number four is to test us. Number five is because this life is imperfect. Number six is due to our sins. Number seven is to make us stronger believers. Number eight is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replacing what we have with something better. Number nine is to remind us of our purpose and direction. And number 10 is to make us more grateful. Barakallahu feekum.